She sprang from the womb and waved to the crowd. Then she smiled and took a bow. That's what her mother told me, and so did the midwife, Mrs. Haas. During the birth, the wind howled outside, and the snow whirled in a blizzard of frightful depth and terror. People died on the streets that evening, overwhelmed by the weather. When the blizzard cleared at around 10 o'clock, the stars came out bright and brighter, salt grains and diamonds high above New York. The wind had stacked up the snow in hefty, gleaming banks against the bases of the tall buildings. By then, the infant was pink and asleep, tiny hands wrinkled and clenched. Venetia, her name was, chosen the instant she appeared, and she was born, her mother insisted, in mythic circumstances. Moses, bulrushes, nativity. She murmured those words to herself as much as to me. You're hearing the story of Venetia Kelly, that mythically born baby. She became a young woman of remarkable talent and passion, and when she was 32 years old, the year I met her, she was drawn into a terrible intrigue that had a profound effect upon my parents and me. I've waited a long time to write it down. My reasons for doing so at all? Simple. The story isn't over, and I'm telling it now to try to secure its ending. I'm aware that I'm like a man running after his hat in a high wind. I may never retrieve it. At moments I shall seem ridiculous, and finally the forces against me may deny me the result that I want. But there it is. Venetia Kelly's story became my story too. It determined the direction I would take at one time, and has controlled how I've lived ever since. I can't say whether I might have had a different life if I'd never met her, but such has been her impact that I've never looked for anything else. In other words, the existence that I lead keeps me as close to her as I can get under the circumstances. As you listen, please know that I'm a man of mature years, telling the story of himself when young. So forgive me if at times I make the young me seem and sound older than 18. In fact, I don't think I've changed that much. Certainly, I recognize myself easily. And I wasn't a complicated young man, but an only child is always a little different. My parents treated me almost as an equal, and I perhaps had more adult sensibilities than were good for me at that age. I think that I might have found it easier to write about myself as a younger child, the small boy who dug for gold on the farm so that he could buy his parents gifts, who worried that they worked too hard, who bought his mother tinned pears for her birthday. At 18, some of that survived, but by then the sense of responsibility with which I am cursed had begun to grow all over me like an extra skin. I feel it every day. I feel it now. It, too, spurs me to try to put this account in your hands. But I'll endeavor to assemble all the reasons as I think of them and as they arise. Tiny digression, and more digressions later, too. Is there an ideal age at which momentous events should happen to us? Is there a certain plateau we must reach before we're capable of taking on big things? I have no idea, and if anybody ought to know, I should. As you'll see, I can't tell you this story without the detailed inclusion of the mother, Sarah Kelly, also an actress. Sarah, when telling me about Venetia's birth, flung about the word auspicious. That afternoon, in an attempt to induce birth, Venetia was 2 days late, the mother sang something from Donizetti. She said that women in the theatre had told her a high note could bring on labour. As she hit the note, a horse in the street below neighed so loudly that the two expectant women, Sarah with her massive bump, and Mrs. Haas with an armful of warm towels, went to the window and looked down. Sarah said, given the tricks of the light, that she thought she was looking at a unicorn. That same morning, she had a letter from a school friend, repaying an old debt. Auspicious, she said, waving a hand like a frond. Wasn't it all auspicious? The father wasn't there that snowy night of the birth, nor did he ever appear in Venetia's childhood. He did speak to me eventually, once the others had agreed to be interviewed, and he then, this unpleasant, aloof beanpole, tried to buy my silence. This was a fellow so measured that people said he never changed his clothes, always a black double-breasted suit, startling white shirt, dark red tie.